one last MR deadline.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, anybody who's taking notes on any of these questions, just email the game with that address, and if you could make a transcribing them to digital format, we'd really appreciate it. We'll put it up on the wiki and into repository to put that on here, because I hate when it comes to
this. One of my name up, I may not be sure today. I can't remember. It's 10:30. We're getting you going. Does it start?
Go. Yeah, go right ahead.
I know I have a booming, terribly loud voice, so I'm going to do this because people will complain. They might have been having a guest mother. You learn how to say, "No, Mom, I don't want any milk." I've learned that it's just a matter of time before someone complains. Hi, I'm Gary Seisen. I'm with a company called Actor Machine, and we're focusing on making procedural actors. Virtual actors, directable animated characters. We want to sort of make it so that you can develop characters that you can, through your game AI or if you're a filmmaker or a puppeteer, direct versus animate, versus worrying about, you know, thinking in terms of scenes. And the whole idea is that you want to, by the way, I'm giving this talk at GDC, that's why I have slides. live actors sell their interior thoughts, their interior emotions through body language, through gestures, not just in spoken word. And through the actions, their gaze, their timing, you know? And you get a lot of that through that. And it's a really highly skilled animator who can express that in animation. And the game where you have to build all these assets in advance, you have to have an awful lot of assets to get the plethora of emotions that you would want to simulate in games. Also, there's morphology issues that, you know, the way, if I've got some great animation, but then I'm telling you, you know what, I'm trying this great character, it's too fat or a little shorter, and the movement's not right anymore. So even if you're designing assets, these assets you've designed, the animation may not work if you then later on the pipeline want to try to change the morphology of your characters. You know? So I didn't want to make a digital asset as traditional actors for computer games that can express emotively expressive. Hey, directions, go over there. You know, you won't work with that. No, a little sad. Alright, a little nervous too. Jealousy glances this guy. You want to be able to send that to your AI, send that to the actors and have them just perform. All right, that's the fantasy. That's my hand wavy fantasy of where we want to go. So let me start with a really, really cute little demo just to show you that I'm not necessarily talking about the uncanny valley here. People are interested in character, going to buy into the character, and you know, going back to sort of a Disney idea, going back to the 30s, you don't need a person to be impressive. Like, I have my crib sheets on me. Let me get my crib sheets on me. That's the way you're cheese. I'm going to have my little, you know, wedge of cheese. Scamper around the room. You know, there he is, scampering, kind of cute, you know, and, you know, maybe a little swagger in his walk, his girlfriend just broke up with him, he's kind of sad, he's a lumbering, you know, heavy guy, prowl around the room, he could, what do I want to do? Are you sad? You know, no, not sad. Are you happy? Oh no, hot take there. You know, hot take and scampering. you know, you had a good time, you know, you'd be glad to hear from people like taking the wrong direction. You get the idea. That you know, you can pop it with your cheese. And you kind of into it. You kind of start believing it. So it's really, body language and gestures sell a lot. Other, you know, more, a different kind of sell than, you know, steam bench pours and sweat glands, you know. So this is my showing of like the minimum example of showing expression. So let me talk about the appropriate, we're using procedural animation techniques, and also a little bit more on procedural animation, but the basic idea is the movement is expressed algorithmically. There's no, there's no mocap and no hand animation in any of the things I'm showing you here. It's all simulated, all computed at runtime. It's a parametric approach. And the idea is, you know, the magic behind all this is, this is a very old demo, this is about 12 years old. Many of you have seen it before. I'm a big Ken Perlman, for those of you who don't know, who know what Ken is. The trick, the hard part of what we're doing is reducing down motion to a linear length, it's a parametric state that, you know, instead of, you know, blending arm motion, blending higher level concepts, and underlying make things work. Like, this is a very simple thing where I could, you know, sort of puppet here to browse up, you know, wide eyes open, you know, lips on the left, you know, look left, you know, tilt your head a little bit. You get the idea. You can think of these as low-level notes that can be controlled in your character, and then you can sort of arpeggiate them or make chords, annoying, surprised, frightened, disappointed. These are just combinations of these low-level notes. All right. So the idea is you build, we're building a technology where you have these parameter spaces where you just sort of set these parameters. All these are 0-1 values, and I can do left side, I can do 8-7 symmetry, et cetera, like this. This technique, Valve software, we consulted with Valve a long time ago, and the Alice character space is based on the same basic technology. So we invented this technology a long time ago, but now we're bringing it to the full body enhanced. By the way, somebody, she's not in the room, this technology is actually used in helping kids with autism learn about, what does angry look like, what does bad look like, and, the mirrors and things like that. So it has applications outside of gaming and animation. Right, so I think the idea of showing, sort of showing your low-level notes, and these are really just 0-1 values. And so going on, I'm just going to go fast through this. It's only 47-minute session if you want, and have a QA and stuff like that. By the way, if you have a queue, you can throw the queues before the QA. the A's might not come until the QA, but the Q's can come. Anyway, so procedural animation, for those of you who don't know, as I said, it's not about blend sequences of motion capture or keyframing, and that doesn't scale well. I mean, that's, game budgets are huge these days. I mean, I think I heard the budget for Assassin's Creed was something crazy, like $40 million, And a lot of that was spent building all the assets so they can get all the combinations of movement to get those guys to walk through the scene. So it doesn't scale, and it certainly doesn't scale for a small company. A lot of people are interested in starting up. But when we go to the guys, I was talking to people at Halo, and when they have a lot of money, so they can get 300 animators to create assets. Probably most of you don't have the budget for 300 animators to build a large asset base. So this has a big appeal for lower motion games, and also just a different type of application. The other thing is it's incredibly memory intensive. A lot of people look at our stuff because their memory budgets are blown by that animation. I'll show you some animation, and the entire, and none of the demos that I'm going to show you are the data set bigger than 10K. Okay? Got it? So just bear that in mind. There's something to do that might get you up to 50K, but that might be for the memory. But seriously, we're very memory light. Obviously, this is CPU cost. We'll talk about later. So remember, the movement is expressed by logarithmically, the simulation of movement. And so the, all this stuff is a very big combination of the really hard math and just really understanding the biomechanics and the emotional relationships, Laban type, so the Laban movement analysis, or what's the right way to take a stand, you know, I'm turning, do I turn my head, then my shoulders, then my body, you know. We sort of algorithmically are doing all that stuff for you. All right? The other thing is the holistic approach that, I'll show you demos later. We'll walk around. We'll do pathfinding if you want. You don't have to use our pathfinding. We'll do pathfinding. But you can, we have various law stuff. Like John Wayne walks very differently than Marilyn Monroe. You know, and John Wayne pissed off looks very different than John Wayne trying to charm the gap. You know, so you have different body rhythms, body mechanics. So your actors have different movement styles from actor to actor, and then different movement styles from move to move. And they're blendable. You don't just go, switch their back from angry to sad. You know, so you need this, again, blendable space. And interactions with, they need to interact with their environment. They interact with objects. For example, picking up a beer, you go think of the robotic demos of, simulated motion. Picking up a beer, because I'm having a good day, because you're picking up a beer, because I realize you just said something that maybe you realize you're sleeping like, oh, it's different. Right? So just being able to interact with objects is cool, but you also want to express the inner emotion of the character. And this is where we're going. And I think we're there, this is where the problem we're trying to solve. And obviously interacting with other people. Like, when my choice of how I walk around the room, if I, have a crush on Darren, and I'm not going to go to the door, I'll let him walk by. But if I owe him $10, I might walk around the room. Like that. You get the idea that your choices in movement can be shaded by this type of information. And for gaze direction, body language, and all that nice stuff. We have, for this to work, there's the uncanny valley, and then there's just what looks wrong. And so we have some physical constraints. We have to deal with balance. We have to deal with foot placement, weight shifting. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It looks wrong. And so basically, underlying, besides the shading of emotion and body language, we're ensuring the physical constraints are satisfied. The characters aren't, the feet aren't going through each other, obviously. You're not getting really, physically impossible body position. It's got to look real. Because you're not going to buy into the character if they're just, looking like, not right. Basically, how we grasp objects and things like that. And so we do this to achieve believable movement. So let me show you another little sketch. We have a lot of software sketches that we're slowly but surely productizing and building together. I'll talk about that at the end. We just heard of. I have my crib sheets. What just happened there? Why are you looking? These are autonomous actors. One of the things we talk about is autonomous visual actors. They're self-animated. There's no motion actors. So these characters sort of know how to walk around the scene. I'm controlling the green guy, I control the red guy. The red gal is like interested in me. She just naturally turns, she naturally shifts her body to keep her focus on me. She doesn't do the Linda Blair thing with her head turned around or behind her. But if you notice, already there's some sort of emotive interaction. I try to go through it, she knows to shift out of the way, and I can drive for some lousy driving. But there you go, she's like, don't bet on me. There's self body awareness too. I'm basically having to focus on his hands. And just do a little bit more than I take. It's like he's sort of keeping his balance as best he can. Let's actually get off because the dragon's arm 4 feet away from his feet. But 14 feet away from his feet. And I don't know why it's so glitchy. Because I'm just sort of adequate controller. But you get the idea that he's focusing on that. These guys, even given their position, They keep the balance. Like if I shake the world around, you know, he's trying to keep his balance. Because he knows how to do that. So again, that's an example of what I'm talking about, dealing with the constraint. I mean, so that Indiana Jones demo with a guy going across a swinging bridge is not exciting to us, because we know how to do that. They can interact with objects. You know, let's see. Uh-oh, my kid over here. All right, fine, so I'm not doing complete solutions. So here you go. All right, so anyway. There you go. So he's interacting with objects, he can, you know, grasp things, keep focus, notice all that stuff. But you know, they can deal with uneven terrain when they're walking around also. So you can keep keeping their balance and the other shit. So you get it is a very old demo. We move it a lot better, and you know, we're product, you know, as we bring it to the product stage. But you see what I mean, that this is all algorithmically done and sort of maintain the believability. And the interesting thing about this is this is independent of morphology. Being that it's well, the color of the character is not the same thing. Look, I'll sort of change the green guy. You know, make him less and more female. You know, change his girth, his thickness, his height. That was great, the color. And then he'll adjust his motion. You know, a little heavier motion now because he's a bigger body. All right. So anyway, enough about these robots. The approach is, it's got to be a holistic approach, a component-based approach, from path traversal, like where do I want to go, then where am I deep landing? And where am I deep landing is a function of my mood and my stride. And the stride is related to the mood. And when I say deep placement, I'll show you now, but it's not now in a few more demos, but if you want the character to go from here to the other side of the train, chair, he'll do that. Alright? But if I'm standing here, I have to do this. That's a hard problem. You don't really want to do that in your game because that's a lot of hard animation. And you certainly don't want to have your character do something like this. Because that's really hard animation, right? So quick placement is related to path plan. Because I have to decide where am I side lane, what am I doing, you know, how am I swinging out, things like that. So we're doing all that stuff for you. Obviously weight shifting, I just talked about posture, the turn angles, like the timing of turning the head. For those of you who know acting, you know, is the character leading with their chin or their chest or their hips? You know, all this stuff is designed into the actor. So let me go to the bottom level first. Pathfinding is not unique in pathfinding, except that it's that it's emotively shaded in choosing the path. But okay, so what you're seeing here are two feet. And we spent a lot of time studying the mechanics of the footstep. You know, mainly, we can procedurally vary, you know, the heel-toe timing, you know, putting, you know, more on the toe versus more on the heel. You know, that's totally flat-footed versus really front-foot leaning. You know, how much am I lifting this toe? You know, it's a little floppy heel put in character. You know, is the character, you know, tiptoeing? So, if you think about it, is that each part of the body, as far as we're concerned, is a separate actor. The feet are taking direction, procedural direction, and they know how to, you know, once they know the foot placement, once they know where the feet are going, the feet actors know how to animate themselves. Because they just, the body animates itself, the face animates itself, the hands animate itself. So you procedurally do this with a very layered approach. Am I hitting this real hard? You get the idea that you know, you really do this. Talk about this later, is that you have roles and responsibilities. This is something an animator understands really, really well. A director doesn't do shit. Right? No, could you be a little flakier? And the flakier walk is more, you know, drunk, be drunk. You know? Be more, no, act more drunk. A little less drunk, that's a little over the top. Is what you want to send by your AI. And your animator will have trained into that. So anyway, the next, that's showing how to sort of land, and this is a little demo just showing our foot placement. You know, there's the feet turning around. So this is another engine, the foot placement engine, sitting inside of our system. And, you know, so you know, it makes slightly longer steps. You know, or let's do a little turnout on the feet. And you see there, you know, we'll turn out of the feet. You get the idea? That these are things that are designed by the parents. I'm not showing, these are yet, you know, buoys right now. You can, you know, this is all linear blank space. And, you know, just showing in 3D, because people like to see the 3D. It's exactly the same as printed in 3D. And the characters are figuring out how, you know, how do I shift my body? And they'll shift the feet, shift the pelvis. Now that the pelvis up, I can, you know, I can widen the hips, and it affects how the foot placement is done. You know, put a little sway in there, so it's a little Marilyn Monroe moving in there, you know, put them. You get the idea? All right, and these are, you know, this is a very high-level demo, you know, this versus how an animator really could be powered. I'll get to that in a bit. Oops, sliding. So there you go. So turning, stop, starting, stopping, uneven surfaces, up and down stairs, we don't care. We simulate that for you. Given the style of walk, we'll figure out how to side. Oh, I need to show sideling, but we can do sideling also. All right? And I don't have a demo now, but we've done in the past, even if it's sitting, standing, leaning. A lot of people want leaning in the game, because that's a very natural thing, leaning against the wall. We'll talk about hand, things to do with the hands later. Right now, I'm just talking about the movement part of our system. So let me take a jump, a leap before I actually show you things put together. Okay, very. I'm really need to talk super fast because I only have 45 minutes, and I'm doing fine. I think I'm 20 minutes in, so
I can slow down.
I might just move to Germany. I'm from New York. I moved to Germany, and somebody said, "Jimmy, you speak German really fast."
In fact, faster than any German I know. You
don't
speak very well.
You speak really
fast.
Anyway, what you really want to do is have scriptable characters, and this is really more aimed at the movie, you know, in sort of a linear script. But again, this could be coming from game AI. And we wrote a little tiny scripting engine just to, as a kind of proof of concept to some scripting with very simple characters. And we'll talk about realistic characters later. You know, all this stuff works for realistic characters. But let me see if I can remember where it is. There you go. Okay. Price Prejudice in 4 minutes. But in fact, it's going back 2 minutes into the movie or the book. I'm not going to even make an attempt at reading it because I can never read it fast enough. So. It's basically showing these British upper class characters interact with each other, you know, and for those of you who can read that, this is a little tangent of initialization. Elizabeth Holmes says Jane falls in love with Bingley, but Bingley decides to present her successor, Captain Cold in the Rain, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're interacting with each other, looking at each other. This is all on higher level directions. This entire animation is 200 lines. Okay? Alright, showing some examples of, you know, who are you focusing on, what's your mood when you're focusing on that character. You get the idea? So, for those who can read faster, that you get the idea she's bad, you know. And if they go and get married together, you know. He shakes that earth if you want her, I forget. I get it. But I think you get the idea. And so the idea is once you have this higher level way of directing, you can now, as a director, scripting at a very higher level. Go meet by the window. You know. Be sad, be happy. And what I really want to talk about is it's, you know, again, descriptive, but what, all that was really saying is where to go, what's your mood, what's your relationship, mood relationship to the other character, and it just figured it out. All right? Got it?
Blocking and mood. This, and emotions change over time. You know, this is your classic romantic comedy. That basically, imagine, you know, the Harry meets Sally sort of thing, where, you know, I'm madly in love with you, you're completely repulsed by me. You know, so I'm like, you're like, right? You know, you're repulsed, I'm interested, right? And then I kind of, you know, do stuff, and you're mean to me, and I kind of start not liking you, you know? And then I do something quirky and cute, and you start liking me, right? And we go out of phase emotionally through the dialogue, and eventually it's just a happy ending. Or at least maybe it's slow, but not miserable, I think. You know? All right? So think of that as a kind of style a director would have. Or again, same idea. All right? Again, the layering of the problem is multi-layered. The model of the physicality, you know, the moving of the joints. All right? Then physical direction, shoulders back. You know, hips forward, knees bent, you know, arms down. You know, these are this sort of the physicality that translates into, the physical direction translates into physicality. Then emotional direction, act angry. You know, this is a stance when I'm angry, you know, so that, and for that character. And so the direction is, when you say act angry, it knows the stance. Confused, wistful, weary, etc. And then higher level AI, higher response to other actors. That once you have all these, see, these are sort of required components to a director, a directable stack. And once you have this, you can then put AI onto the characters that I can say, well, okay, this animated character is my girlfriend. She gets angry. I'm kind of a flirtation type, and I keep checking out the other women. And every time I do, she gets pissed at me. Right? That's a script. That's not so much a script. That's a relationship thing. And so if my man in AI knows that, you know, she walks into the room and I check her out, and she gets the signal about checking her out, she starts getting pissed off. Right? And you don't have to worry about it. Because you know, the AI is kind of handling that. You get the idea? So the bottom line is you need procedural actors before you can do any of this stuff. Because you know, if your actors can't do the things, you know, you can't even think about building that level of AI on top of your characters. Roles and responsibilities. Any of these is for roles and responsibility, don't at one point you work in corporate America. So. Yeah, basically, who does what and why you care? And the idea is you want to separate what people do in very, very clear senses, because otherwise you sort of don't know what you're doing and you don't leverage people. So the idea was like, draw animators who are programmers or programmers who are animators. Or draw cinematographers who are animators. Or draw animators who are cinematographers. You get the idea? So, you know what I'm talking about. That's a real problem. And so the whole idea is you want to separate the roles and responsibilities. The rivers and models just build these characters just like they always do. Again, in a minute, I'll give you a realer demo. I forgot to load up Maya. I'm going to start with Maya because Maya takes a long time to load it. The bottom line is, if you don't have a rich remote tech, you don't know how to use our technology. You don't have a rich for our technology. Because, you know, arguably, we're mocapless mocap. You know, we're procedural mocap. You know, we just generate very, very clean mocap. Then an animator who understands rhythm and movement and style trains the character in the lowest level sense of the timing and the movement. You know, what kind of, you know, are they doing a more of a present Blair thing, or this, you know, this, you know, the Jessica Rabbit walk, or this, you know, how, what kind of grips do they use? You know, they're taking the hand up, pinky up, you know, gaze ideas, weight and balance, is your center of mass stuff. And again, I'll tell this procedural, I'll come back to them later. And then once you have the basic movement, an acting coach, in the sense of an acting coach, then takes this raw actor and then trains it more. So, a little broader. And that's, when you're angry, that's a good gesture for anger. A little wider, sharper. And they're still not about scenes. It's about how to act. All right, and this is somebody who's not an animator but understands movement. All right. And then and associates gestures, that gesture taking your glasses off is something you do, that's a good thing to do when you're nervous, sort of thing. And then directing and indirecting in the higher level sense.
Just 10 minutes.
What?
10 minutes.
I 10 minutes. Okay, good. So I'll demo. Yes.
So I have a question. Can you put in an acting coach or an actor gets their character and then knows the character and will react as their character to an event? And if you put five actors with five different actors with five different characters, they'll react differently based on the character.
Yeah, they, the same direction with a different actor will act different.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to. But let me. I only 10 minutes, so let me go through it and then. So let me do the most important demo, and it gives my demo. This is everything I show you now. I can show you in Maya, and it's just a simple little testbed for showing our underlying the movement part of our underlying engine. So what I have here is just a little, sort of room. Here's a 2D plan view, and I can basically say, walk over there. He figures out how to walk over there, and walk over there, or go there, go to this table, and turn around, turn around. But the interesting thing that I want to show you is that let me show you something interesting first, and then I'll talk about training. So this is I gave this to actually an animator. And in about 2 hours, he developed his character. There is his walking shad, same character. And the character, he could be wherever he can. Here's the camera. Hi, I'm sorry. All right, fine. Then sort of happy. I'm gonna actually just put it on loop mode so that he just. There he says I'm not happy, or I'm angry, and I'm shy, looking at the camera. He's shy character, stop looking at me. And then that's sort of differentiating mode and then also morphology. But the important thing is I said this is all done in a linear blend space. Namely, I can, like I said, with an emotive dial, as the character's walking around, because I think that's a sort of, dial up sad. Or dial up happy. Unless you don't hit this light. Dial up happy. Dial up down. Or, I'm happy, but I'm a little shy. You get the idea? a little shyer. You're happy, but all right, little glitchy stuff there. But you get the idea. And again, if you want to do, morphology, like a strong guy, but my strong guy should be a little sadder. bring in, an over, turn into an over. My happy over. Happy, I'm on my way to eat people. And then of course we got another Jessica Rabbit, little bandish. Anyway, so you see that this is a linear blessing. Now what I think I want to say, in case I forget, is because we can, I've shown the emotive blending on mood, but also on morphology, so this is really good for procedural crowds. Because as long as you have a model that doesn't rip, you can change the proportions of the character, change the center of mass of the character, and the movement will change. And there's no stadium. This is all procedural models. This is all, if I had two characters there, they would never move exactly the same way. So I don't have enough time. There you go. When they're on stage, the walking is all right. you got the idea of the path to defeat, but like the same thing, basically I was showing you the path that chooses and the way it chooses that defeat. Proceduralizer. A lot of people have assets, and a lot of people still like mocap to get reference motion. I work with people at Umbrook, and in a certain game, the main character is having a whip, you know, and a hat, and whatever. They get 350 walk cycles for the hero character. You know, the way they do it, they'll have Indiana Smith walking straight, but that's not enough. Then you have to do him straight, you know, when he's looking there, walking this way, where his feet are going. So basically, they'll do 8 directions, so they can blend to get the angles of walking between. Oh, but then, you know, it's hard for him, he's tired. 8 more. Oh, he's looking, he's lifting his left leg. 8 more. 350 hand-drawn walking. Okay? Well, if you get space to walk cycle of characters, you can then bring in our other linear dials and blend in and, you know, without doing all the mocap. And also, you don't, and by the way, those 350, we haven't turned yet. Okay? So basically, we're working on about where we're matching motion. And basically taking the, well, I can show you this, it's not enough time, it's only 45 minutes, but I can show you how an animator controls, like, what's the bottom of the hip, etc. So basically, we have ways to do that. Hand gestures, I'm not going to show you, we've been really working on a very strong model of the hand, just like we've done on the foot. You know, like, you, your thumb comes in, your pinky moves. Right? So we're doing a lot of, you know, getting realistic grasp positions, grasp mechanisms. All right? So that you can grasp, interact with the scene. I'm not going to demo, I want to sort of talk about what we're doing. Again, hand gestures is different than interacting with the scene. Grasping objects, right? We're building a mind plugin because it's really hard to, I've got this great technology. Why don't you just sort of architect it in the core of your game, okay? And we'll see how it works. It's a bad approach. Also, go to one of those big game companies and say, hey, you want to try it? I said, well, come to my legal team before we can look at it. You know, so somebody at Bungie suggested, make a Maya plugin, then we can just look at it. But then I realized that that's actually the right way to go. So I'm actually putting the whole engine in a Maya plugin where you can do linear blocking. I'm running a linear scripting tool for doing linear animation, which then you bake out and then your real animators will want to, like, add more specific motion. But it allows people to create real characters and have them move around and see how they would move. And actually some people are using it, like I was saying with the wall cycle, want to use our stuff to generate motion in Maya and then fake it out as regular assets in their game. So, you know, this is not instead of there. So basically we have a process where people can use this type of technology to generate assets that they can use in their game, in their current game engine, because they know what to do with the kind of animation that comes out of Maya, because that's how they made it in the first place. So the gesture coach, the acting coach, again, this is just sort of more levels of training. So now our core engine, which is a big diagram like that in a second, but what is the input to make it, you know, what do I need to know so how my actors do stuff? Well, I need emotional directors for each character. You know, once you train the characters, I'm sorry, once you train the character, you build these assets of what does it mean to move for that character and act sad and happy. I need directors for each character, you know, in this scene, are you happy, are you sad, are you getting happy? Inter-character relationships, blocking, where do you want to go? You know, where do you want to be? Action, pick something up, move down, sit down, embrace each other, etc. Terrain, I need to know about the terrain, you know, because if I'm going to walk on up and down the stairs and things, I kind of need to know where the floor is. You know, obstacles, so I know where to walk around, props, so I know, you know, how to do stuff. So that's the input, it's a very simple input. But once it's put together, this is sort of the diagram of the stuff we're building, where these boxes are training tools. You know, for building assets, use the movement coach. And you show me, I showed you the thing with the characters walking around with the sliders. I didn't show you the sliders for how to change the movement, because
we want some time, but use that to create assets on how to move. Right? How, you know, this kind of actor moves this way with his happy set. Each of these assets are about, you know, a K. They're really good small, it's just a couple of six, you know, 150 numbers. You know. Then the gesture assets, you know, the tool for training gestures. And then the acting coach, which, you know, what's the emotion? You know, so what to have different kinds of walks, different kinds of gestures, kind of move them together, stretch them out, shade them, and now I have an actor mood that creates emotion assets. So these are the assets that you create, and these are independent of scene, independent of game. Independent of morphology, size, proportions, and independent of scene. Alright? So I can use this on totally different characters in different games. I get a character like that elephant I had in that other game. You know, or, you know, animators can create characters in the lesson. And then the engine takes these assets and deals with the game AI, which tells it about the inputs that I talked about, the scene, and et cetera. I can deal with that, you know, when you told me to pick up the cup, when did I pick up the cup, so you may want to change your game AI. You know, and this is not about kung fu fighting or shooting, you know, or bouncing up walls. This is about emotional acting, the acting of the game. And then we generate out what looks like mocap controllers, so we send that out so you know people know what to do with that. I'm like, you know, some people here will want to throw that technology and tell people that, and then just render. So that's sort of how we fit into the game world. And game world is used, games, procedural crowd, linear animation, pre-vision tools, we've been going a lot with film companies, virtual worlds, obviously, and real-time performances. I'm going to just talk about this. Again, one of the things I'm interested in is once you have this, you can then create really high-level AI assets. Like, what does it mean to cook a meal? We all know we go to a friend's house and bring the ocean dinner. There's four or five of us, and you know, make a pasta, make a salad, etc. Well, there's an AI for describing how to do that. You know it. You know, grab the pasta, a little water, etc. Well, you want, if you describe what it means to cook that as task and what it means for the task to be interruptible, you can then just have your game AI say, you, go to the kitchen and continue cooking. And that's it. Independent of where, because I know how to grab things in any place. I don't need pre-assets, so as long as I can figure out where the pot is, I know how to get myself around the kitchen and grab the pot and go to the kitchen sink. Because it is stuff that we're going. I'm not selling the AI.
That's what I'm not.
Okay, no. I'm not selling the AI, that's a good example. No problem. All right, so blah, blah, blah. Oh, I was trying to do some animation stuff that I never ended up doing. That's it. Thanks, guys. And the same about the cards are... Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?